Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to...
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a glue.
Boop-boop-a-doo.
This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network, so for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. Today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 12, The Heartbreak of Truth. And my heart is breaking because this is the second to last episode of this program.
I hate it. I hate that it's ending.
I'm really sad.
The show is so good.
Yeah, we are going to cover this episode. We're going to cover the finale, and then Sarah and I are going to bring you some more content. So we hope you stick around for that. It will be sporadic. We're not going to be doing weekly, but you know, keep subscribed and it'll pop up when it pops up as a special little treat, because Sarah and I have a lot to talk about, a lot to reflect on from this whole series. Mm-hmm. And yeah, should we get into this episode, Sarah?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, we start at the morgue with Ace, who is talking to his ghost. She is there, pretty corporeal. And is that the right word? Corporeal?
I think so.
Yeah. And he can see her. He doesn't need the radio anymore. And he calls her his ghost.
Which is super cute.
It is cute, but also clearly going to not end well.
Yeah. And she disappears when Nancy enters. And Ace is trying to blow her off. Like, no, you're the one who did something. I'm busy. I need to work.
Yeah, she wants to figure out what it was that they did.
He's like, that phone call was just me, thank you, that was it. And she was like, no, that could have been placed by the Sin Eater. So we need to know what it is. And she is being like compassionate about the ghost, or empathetic maybe. Like, I get that she means a lot to you, but I need to know what I did so I can find my path to redemption.
Yeah, and it's one of those like, she's being patient with him, but she's also like, not in so many words, but the ghost is dead and I am living with this thing and I need to know what it is I'm living with.
And yeah, I'm sure outside of being Ace, like if you're removed from the situation, ghosts are supposed to move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they wanted for Odette.
Yeah, she's being rational, but also there's a lot of feelings involved in all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she gets a phone call from someone that I kind of forgot about. She gets a phone call from the same person who called at the end of season 3 to let her know about the graves. And it turns out to be a grave digger.
Yeah. So we go over there and there's a new grave dug. And the grave digger said that he did not dig that one. He also says that he wanted to alert someone about the risen bodies, but he didn't want to lose his job. So he didn't want to be involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is fine.
Yeah, I'm glad we got this call back and it wasn't actually like an ominous thing, because in the end of season 3 it's supposed to be like, who is it? And now it's just like, oh, it's just a man doing his job and protecting his job.
So is this graveyard only Sin Eaters?
Oh, maybe. It's small, right?
Yeah, and then this is where they are suspecting the Callie dug a grave for the 9th Sin Eater, for Tristan.
If it's only Sin Eaters, this man's job would be real... He wouldn't have a lot to do.
No. And would there be something, some kind of legacy? I don't know. I'm looking for too much that would be hard to wrap up in one more episode.
And also maybe with a gravedigger, maybe he has other things. Maybe he like attends to the grounds.
Yeah.
Keeps up like how it looks and everything. I don't know what all gravediggers have to do.
You know, maybe he's not only working for that one. Maybe he works for other ones too. Or
that makes sense. Yeah.
But anyways, Callie said that she would protect the Sin Eater legacy, but she didn't say how. So they're thinking maybe she's planning to kill Tristan so that the soul will reincarnate in, my thought, Carson and Jean's baby. And that would protect the legacy.
I hate her.
I do too.
Nick is going to go and talk to Callie, which makes sense because Nick is good with words and Nick has, you know, communicated with her before. So he would be the person I would choose to go do that.
I love that he is the one, he volunteered to go, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back when they needed to talk to the councilwoman, he was very hesitant to take on that role. And now he's embracing it.
Definitely has ownership over what his skill set is, which I love.
Bess asks Nancy if she's talked to Tristan lately. Nancy says, oh, since I unintentionally turned him into a monster and his parents tried to sacrifice me? Nope.
Haven't found the time.
she has been trying, but he's leaving her unread. Then Bess gets a message that the Beltane event has been canceled by Chief Lovett. She is not happy about that.
No, and that's another one of Horseshoe Bay's traditions, which of course it is because we're still within the same year from season one. So we have all of these cool things. It would have been really neat had there been more seasons if we got to kind of like see these events happen more than once.
Mm-hmm. I know, like if they do the blood bucket challenge and everyone's bucket turns to blood.
I mean, I feel like that's more or less what ended up happening the first time because everyone was in peril at some point or in time or another.
Yeah. All right. And we wrap up the scene with Nick and George talking. Nick says he has big news. And I was like, did he have a quick engagement again?
Oh, God.
The second one. That's where I thought it was heading. But no, there was a call from someone who used to live in Horseshoe Bay and wants to buy the Claw and keep it as is.
And this is a storyline that if there was going to be another season, I would be like, okay, well, clearly they're not going to sell the Claw. But since I know it's the last season, I'm like, oh, this is wrapping up. And at least one person's leaving town. They're like ending the show here.
Yeah.
Which I get it. It's a trope like that happens. But I was very sad during this conversation.
The Claw is such a big part of it. Yeah, that's us saying goodbye to it too.
Mm-hmm. And George is like, no, and he's like, well, just sit with it, think about it.
Yeah. And we go over to the police station where Bess is trying her darndest to convince Chief Lovett to not cancel the Beltane celebration. And Chief Lovett's like, the central feature is a giant fire, dangerous. I'm like, that's kind of a weak argument. And Bess explains what the Beltane event is, that it's people burn like little totems that represent the regret they have that they want to let go of. And then from the ashes of regret blossom new opportunity. I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a great idea for an event for town unity and looking hopeful towards the future.
Yeah. And bonfires happen all the time.
All the time.
And if you're safe about it and smart about it and organized, it'll be fine. But people sneaking around and doing things illegally is usually less safe than, I mean, they still were organized when this ends up happening. But, like, they've done it for how many years? And nothing's caught on fire, so calm down.
Right. I did, like, Lovett's line. She said, this town needs order and safe streets, not voodoo dolls and public health hazards.
She also says social media doesn't make decisions on well-being of town because Bess is like, people want it. She's like, I'm not listening to social media.
Yeah. And then Bess is like, who hurt you?
I laughed out loud.
Yeah.
And Lovett is like, I don't want people exposed to negative memories. It's not fun. It makes the town sad. And it's just very real world right now of people being like, nope, we're hiding the history. We're hiding the truth. Don't teach kids, you know, about slavery. That wouldn't be cool. And it's like, well, it happened, so they should learn about it.
Yeah.
So she needs to get out of town, in my opinion.
Yeah. And she says the fact that you and your friends want to focus on the darkness and pain and regret and force that on other people, she thinks that's disturbed. And she ends it with, who hurt you? Which I thought was a good comeback to Bess. And then she closes her door and Bess can't argue anymore.
Right, because she literally gets, like, shut out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you think about Chief Lovett returning in this episode?
So I was happy to see Chief Lovett here because I had been saying for a few episodes about how I felt like they more or less just replaced her storyline and her antagonistic presence with Callie Farquhar. And so I'm glad that we got back to Lovett for just wrapping it all up, and it seemed more intentional than just like, okay, we got a new actress now.
Mm-hmm. For a while, I was like, are Callie and Chief Lovett the same person?
I mean, they both are white blonde Karens, so there you go.
Yeah. All right, now we go over to the Claw, where George is talking with Cameron, and he's saying, okay, no mail came today, but maybe no news is good news. And she's like, that's not good news.
How's he keeping track of her mail? I was confused about that.
She thanks him for him agreeing to use his address because she wanted all that. She didn't want her acceptance or rejection letters coming to her house that her mom or sisters might see.
Yes, that makes sense. So they're buddies, which is nice.
Bess comes through all angry. which I just love. And George is like, okay, I should probably help with this. And followers are outside to the beautiful patio at the Claw.
I wrote beautiful outdoor lighting. I want to go there so bad. I know it's not a real place, but I want to go there so bad. And Bess decides that she will host her own Beltane because they can't be silenced and they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and Jesse and Birdie are there. They're upset too, so Bess is easily able to recruit them. So George and Jesse are going to do the catering order. Birdie is going to work on totem supplies. Bess is going to outreach on socials. And George is just staring longingly at the Claw and starts talking to Jesse about selling it.
It would have been really cute if Nick popped up out of nowhere and was like, oh, you need someone to do social media? I can do that.
Yeah.
Because that one episode where he got really into it.
Yeah. But I'm sure that Bess uses him. Like, hey, Nick's going to be at the Beltane event.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a picture of him. And it's like, come to the Beltane event. Yeah. He's got his shirt unbuttoned.
It's the Grimslaying Nick outfit. Yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, the sisters are talking. George confides in Jesse that the place will still be there. And they're like, well, what about our birth chart? And I got a little choked up. It's very sweet. We get to see all of the fangirls growing up on the side of the wall, and they just have a really cute sister moment. And I really like the line about how George and her grandma are clam killing monsters, because that was something from what, season 2 or 3?
Yeah.
An end of an era, which fits with the end of the series.
Yeah.
All right. Nick shows up at the Historical Society and he's pleading to Callie. He's like, Tristan doesn't have to die. He's begging her not to destroy another innocent life.
And Callie's like, we all die. The only thing to remain is the Sin Eater. I'm like, you creepy. And she says she will do what it takes to continue the legacy of the Sin Eater.
And I really like where he's like, no, you're manipulating on behalf of the privilege. Like, you're trying to cover up this select group of people's sins. Like, this is not right. This is not just. This is not fair.
Yeah, this is systemic injustice.
Mm-hmm. And she says the cycle is unbreakable. I'm like, if anyone could do it, it's the Drew crew.
Yeah. Give them 24 hours. They'll figure it out. All right. Now we are over with Nancy and Ace talking to a fisherman in Trenton. This fisherman was out on the water. And since he is outside of Horseshoe Bay, he would have seen what actually happened. He says it was weird to see someone else on the water at that time of night, and he saw a boat catch fire. There was an explosion. He radioed for help, but it was too far away, so he didn't see any details.
And Nancy is suspicious that Ace would be able to get a boat out at night without a captain. So it's kind of piecing together, like, maybe the ghost was the captain.
So he's saying that he's going to check the logs for other boats on the water that night. And she was like, okay, well, maybe also check the personnel logs for possible captains in case your memory of having one was erased.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Nick calls, and we only hear her side of the conversation. No, 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 I'll find him. And then tells Ace, I got to go. It's Tristan. Leaving him to be like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go check out all this stuff.
Right. So they're both dealing with their mystical lovers on their own. Nancy and Ace have moments of working together throughout this episode and moments of being pulled apart because of the other people, spirits, monsters in their lives.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Tristan is a person. He just has this also demonic.
Yeah. People, spirit, monster. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're both people. She's a spirit. He's a monster.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yep.
So Nancy finds Tristan pretty easily, which means that she was giving him space before. Like, she was trying to call and reach out, but she wasn't forcing herself on him, which I thought was good. He's loading stuff in his truck and mentions what his parents did. And she's like, yeah, we're going to table that for now because Callie's going to kill you. We have to cure you.
There's so much tabling going on with everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, she wants to cure him, and he's pretty complacent about it. He's like, nah, I'm going to die. It's fine.
Yeah, he's like, I've always been marked for an early death. There's no we in the situation. And then he's like, you called to the Sin Eater and you hurt me, whether you knew it was me or not.
I really love her response. Let me save you one more time. Then if you want, you can walk away from me.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm like, all right, we're 1 3/4 episodes to go here. are they going to be together? Or are we going to figure out the ace curse and figure out, you know, my brain's racing at this point of what is going to happen.
There's so much.
And so little time.
I know.
So we go over to Icarus Hall where the Drew crew, minus Ace, and Tristan try saving him.
And they're talking about the ritual to call the Sin Eater and going through it. And he's like, oh, yeah, when that mummy screams, I hear that. That's what, you know, transforms me. And so they start looking it up. And that mummy is the mother of monsters, an ancient deity from the old world in Wales.
And they're like, well, maybe we can't cure you, but we can make sure no one else calls you again.
Nancy is going to go meet Ace because he has a lead. Nick is going to check with Ryan for mystical mummy wrecking relics. So they split up. And Nancy is once again spread too thin, trying to solve two problems at once.
Two pretty significant problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Ace shows up at the ghost home. He's looking around, and he found her home, and her name is Alice.
And the ghost shows up, and being back at her home and hearing her name, she starts kind of remembering stuff. We find out that Ace found her because she was the only female captain that worked nights. And her boss said that she turned in her resignation last week, which sounds like it was all Sin Eater manipulation.
Oh, yeah. I didn't put that part together. Good catch.
And so she kind of starts going through, like she sees a picture of herself, remembers it was in North Carolina, talks about, you know, taffy and parks and cruise ships and getting her captain's license. And she knows that he's the first person she's felt connected to in a long time.
Which is really sad because, as we'll get to in a little bit, their actual, like, connection was very brief.
Yeah.
But who knows? People have their own lives and who knows what all was going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nancy shows up, just keeps interrupting these two lovers.
Of course.
And Nancy's pretty like, we gotta do this, we gotta do this. And he's like, you know, maybe some mysteries shouldn't be solved. Because he's playing off of watching his ghost get emotional with all these memories rushing back. And yeah. He doesn't want his own memories rushing back.
Yeah. She's like, you care about Alice. Don't you want her to have closure? I really like that she started using Alice's name, like not just referring to the ghost, like
yes,
recognizing this is a person, person spirit. He just keeps saying, let it go. This is just like you to rope me into a mystery to solve for you just when I've moved on.
How did you feel when she's like, your girlfriend's a ghost? And he's like, your boyfriend is blah, 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 crab walking monster.
A beast marked for death. Yeah.
they were going at it and it was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Neither of them was wrong, but the way they were handling it was not appropriate.
Yeah. I feel like Nancy's been bottling all that up for a little bit. Like, you haven't moved on. Your girlfriend's a ghost. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
At least Tristan, they didn't know he was a Sin Eater until...
Correct.
A few weeks, I guess. It wasn't that long.
2 days ago.
but, yeah, when he's like, you haven't moved on either. And she's like, I know. I never said that I did. And then she goes at him, it's so like you to call off things when you feel uncomfortable, you're afraid of the truth, you're afraid of yourself and me. I can solve this without you. And she leaves him.
Wild. I think this is a good time for us to go ahead and take a short break.
All right, we will be right back.
We are back, and the community is setting up the Beltane event. Nancy's two dads are there. Ryan is talking to Carson about Jean.
This is the cutest conversation. Like, are we saying congratulations on the baby and all that? And it sounds like no decisions have been made yet. Jean's still trying to figure it out. Carson's kind of doubting his abilities to do it again. And Ryan says, you raised the best person I've ever met. So if you want this, you can handle it. And I cried.
That is my favorite line of the episode, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
It speaks so much. It's talking so highly of Nancy, but it's also talking so highly of Carson and showing that Ryan is like, you know, co-parenting, but also like crediting Carson for, you know, raising Nancy. It just speaks so much about Ryan's growth and how he views these two characters as beautiful.
Yeah, because at the beginning, when he first found out, he was kind of going at it with Carson about Nancy.
Understandably, yeah.
Right.
Stole a baby.
Right. And yes, it just shows how far they've come. Then Red shows up.
And apparently they're an item now because the last half of the season is on fast forward, which happens when things get canceled. I don't care about Red. I care not about this storyline at all.
I care that he's happy.
Yes, I'm happy for that. But I was also like, let's kind of like see where it goes.
Yes. But she very quickly has a hammer strong enough to smash a supernaturally protected object.
Awesome.
And then she tells him that, hey, now that Shelby and Jonas are in jail, let's go rob the glass of stash, take all their relics, ruin their lives, and then drive off into the sunset.
Yeah, speaking of his growth as a character, he feels that sketchy and doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. He he's connected to Horseshoe Bay, but two, he's like, we can't just go steal it.
Yeah.
Yay, mm-hmm. No evil Ryan.
Yay, very happy. He doesn't want to leave because his family's here and responsibilities. And she's like, well, I would have left here weeks ago. You're the only reason I'm still here. And so he's like, okay, well, why don't you come help me with the fire? And I'm going to teach you about Beltane and Horseshoe Bay lore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get her to stay.
We go over to the yacht club basement which now they're just getting in that basement so easily. I feel like the first time we dealt with the yacht club and finding the basement, it was like such a hassle to get people in. But mm-hmm. maybe Nancy can bring guests in because it's not that one day a month or 2 days a month or whatever that no guests could go in.
Right. But it's still like in the open.
Right.
Like, that they have to go down that. So maybe it's closed and they just keep breaking in.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
But they are there, and it's, once again, the Drew crew minus Ace plus Tristan.
They're scrambling the camera. They're moving fast. Nancy is not thinking things through because she's ready to just go in there and smash it with a hammer.
She literally says, I have a hammer.
Yeah. And Nick's like, no. Like, we're worried that the basement might be cloaked in supernatural protection.
Did you ever watch Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
I'm just picturing Nancy.
I'm going to wreck it.
Just like with his hammer. Sorry. But yes, they're doing an incantation to banish the mystical protection. Everyone's on board. Everyone's helping. Who is there?
Yes. And Tristan asks if he can be the one to do it.
That made me nervous.
Yes. I was like, oh, this is going to fail and it's going to kill him.
Or I was like, maybe he's not going to do it. Maybe something else is going to happen. Well, because then in the moment, he like breaks the chains instead of like, I thought he was going to like smash her, like break the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he like frees her for a second. So the mummy stands up. That was a beautiful shot of the wings opening behind him.
Yes.
It like kind of touches him and like speaks to him with, you know, not human sounds, and then shatters the mirror behind him. And I'm like, oh my God, is this over? Is this done?
Yeah. And Nancy's like, do it now.
And then she
wants him to just hit it.
Right. I'm like, Nancy, calm down. Like,
right.
It'll happen. There's a lot going into this. This is his whole life. And then the creature melts to goo.
And then Tristan says that she spoke to him. She apologized that there was no justice for the Sin Eaters, that she was trapped down here for centuries, a prisoner just like the Sin Eater is. She was glad he returned to her and said goodbye.
So Tristan's cured, right?
Kind of what it seems like.
We get a line later in the episode that seems like he's, yeah.
Yeah.
So that portion of the season is wrapped up now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Callie causes
problems. There's problems, but no one can go, like, call the Sin Eater. There's no more Sin Eater.
No.
And Tristan should live now, unless something else happens, obviously.
Yeah. And Nancy kind of reaches out, like, to comfort him. But then she sees the liquid from the mummy disappearing is the same thing that's in the Ambeth. And so she realizes the mummy's last action was to help recover the sins. And so she gathers it up so that she can find out what sin she erased.
Oh, Nancy, thinking about herself.
Yeah.
But also Ace, and also understandable. I would want answers too. All right. We go over to the Beltane, where Bess is called to give a speech. She gives a beautiful speech. It's important we honor who we are. All of that.
Supernatural traditions make this town special, especially when some want to silence us. Cue Chief Lovett showing up. And Bess continues saying, our future is tied to our past, so from the ashes of past regret, may a bright future rise. And then she lights the bonfire.
Yeah, I'm glad Chief Lovett let her finish. Bess goes over and calls her out on her past. She's like, you know what? I know why you took the leave of absence.
Yeah. It was because Chief Lovett became the, you know, an officer, the chief of her own hometown, found it difficult to put her friends, like try to police her friends and everything. And then there were drugs and body surge showing up. And yeah, she couldn't handle it. And Bess is like, well, drugs aren't supernatural. This isn't the same thing.
Yeah, there was a bit of disconnect, but the way I'm trying to figure it out is that, like, basically she just got too connected, like too invested. And so she's like, I'm going to disconnect my feelings.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a little strange. But I love, love, love Bess's line, where you see chaos, I see hope.
Mm-hmm.
And she manages here somehow. She pulls a Nick and uses her words to talk Chief Lovett down. And that's one antagonist dealt with.
Maybe she learned when she was had to be in Nick's body.
Heyo, yes. Yeah. God, I loved that episode.
That was good. So I think Lovett might change her mind later. But as of right now, that does seem all wrapped up.
Yeah.
With Bess and her both deciding they want to look after the town.
And knowing what's about to happen in the last episode, like, yeah, there might be some pullback, but I feel like overall it's going to be resolved because it's the last episode.
Yeah.
Ace and Alice are chit-chatting, and she's remembering pieces of her life, and that made her want to learn more. And he says he's going to find a way.
Yeah, she wants to know if he can solve, like, how did she die, but keep her from moving on so that she can stay there with him.
Well, that's clearly gonna work.
Yeah.
Nope.
Back over at Beltane, Nick and George are talking. And I thought it was cute that he's talking about how proud he is of Jesse and Birdie.
Yeah.
And George asks, if they sell the claw, would they be able to keep their jobs? And he said, yeah, we'll make it part of the deal that they have to do that.
Nick and George here discuss and agree that they both want to sell. George is hoping to leave for school, and she's going to take risks while she still can.
Yeah, he's like, look at you making moves. She decided after spending time with Tristan, seeing how limited his life is, that she wanted to go take these risks. And mentioned that the family's stable and everything. The only thing holding her back is fear. I love his line of, I have a feeling you'll be okay. I heard it from a crowbar. That was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about how him and Jade talked about taking a vacation because it's been a minute since he's relaxed.
Which I feel like we already got that information in the last episode when they talked about the road trip twice.
Right.
But it's nice to, like, reconfirm, like, Jade is still around and we are going on a trip.
Yeah. So. And now this trip will not be to go pick up supernatural relics. It will be, the intention will be to relax.
Yes. Oh, and maybe they'll even come visit George. Maybe that's like an unsaid thing. Like, their vacation will be to go to the...
Ooh, that's a long trip.
West Coast.
But yes. Oh, I guess they could fly. They don't have to drive it.
Yes, planes have been around, yes.
Yes, shut up.
all right. And then, speaking of people I want to shut up, Callie shows up and she is pissed!
She wants to know what happened in the basement. And George is like, well, we broke the cycle. Legacy is over. Your power is over. And she says, you have no idea what you've done. And Nick and George are confident. They're like, your threats are empty.
I was not confident. Were you confident?
No.
No. I wasn't thinking what she could do because I blocked that out. But I was worried here.
Mm-hmm. We go over to Icarus Hall where Carson and Nancy finally have a talk about the new baby.
I love how supportive and chill Nancy is about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, don't you think this is weird? And she says the perfect line, which is very, very updated and modern to just life. She says, what about our family isn't weird?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, she's got two dads that are not gay lovers. And, you know, and mm-hmm. her mom was a ghost and all that, you know, all this crazy stuff. So, yeah, a baby with a dad who's older is the least weird thing about their family.
Yeah, absolutely. I love her first reaction is, I guess it's perfect timing. I move out and now you're replacing me with a new me.
But she seems
clearly joking. Yeah. And he says his whole life has been being her dad. You have my heart. And she says, well, so did mom. So does Jean. It's always possible to have more room.
So cute.
Ace interrupts this moment. Carson gives her a hug and leaves. So I feel confident that they are on good terms.
Yeah.
Where they are.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a scene of them in the next episode.
I hope so.
We'll get to that. All I want in the next episode is just cute little scenes with everyone wrapping everything up. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Yeah. Just open up the episode with Bess doing some kind of retraction
in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they all just have cute goodbye scenes. Yeah. Every pairing that's ever been important in the season or the show.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Bring Connor and Lily back in and all that. Yeah.
Grant comes back. Park comes back. You know, it'll be great.
Owen?
No, no, he's dead. I don't care about Owen. And none for Owen.
So Ace tells Nancy he's not afraid of the truth. He's not afraid of her, that he was just looking out for Alice. But now she's ready to know what happened. So he is too. And Nancy picks up the ambith and says, well, I have a wit.
Yeah.
Was this anything of what you expected?
Throughout this episode, it checks out. Before this episode, well, I had no idea.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though. Like, the writers laid it out there. It tracks.
Yeah.
So they both touch the ambith. They do the little thing they need to do. And she says, if you were involved at all, your memories will come back, too. And sure enough, he was. And his memories come back. And we find out that it was the night on the boat with his dad before he calls Nancy with the fake memory. And I feel a little validated that I was suspicious of when they jumped the thing in the water and it made the wave. And because mm-hmm. you see underwater, you see this shot of it like sinking and then kind of.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's odd. I never was like, this is going to become a fake memory. And this is, someone died on the boat. Like, I obviously didn't come up with all that. But when it happened episodes ago, I was like, something is awry here.
Mm-hmm.
So the big wave leads to the boat rocking around, and the captain that had a cute little moment with Ace gets locked in, and his dad falls over. My God.
Yeah, he is trying to get Alice out of, like, she's trapped in that area where there's a fire on the boat. He can't get the door open, looks and sees his dad is overboard, and he decides to dive in after his dad. And when he's in there, we hear the boat explode. So.
So sad.
Had he stayed to try and get her out, like, he would have died too, and his dad. So I don't think he was wrong in the decision that he made.
Right. But try to convince someone of that.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah. It's on.
He's a complete wreck. And he calls Nancy. Because, of course he does. He's always, Nancy is the person to call here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I need you now. She shows up and he's inconsolable.
Yeah. He's saying, I let a girl die. I dropped the curse jar in the water and I let a girl die.
So explain to me how Nancy gets rid of the sin. What did she do? What was her sin?
So I'm thinking if her sin was making him drop the curse jar in the water, because that was her idea. She's the one who agreed to it. Agreed to night fishing and all that, and that is what triggered all that stuff.
Yeah, but it was an accident. So is that the whole road to hell is paved with good intentions?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's, I mean, going with what you said, maybe part of it is like, if you believe that what you did was a sin, because George throwing a coffee mug on the ground isn't really a sin either, because the intention behind it was to be able to save people and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I think you just have to go being like, this is a sin. I believe in my heart this is a sin, and therefore it takes care of it.
Yeah.
So if you feel guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nancy felt guilty, and Nancy always feels guilty. So, hey, there we go. All four seasons of Nancy blaming herself for stuff worked here because she was able to claim this as her own sin.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it. That's what it is. I think it's all parts of it.
Yes. When they come out of the memory, Ace is furious. He was like, I went to you for help and you went to the Sin Eater. It was not her choice to make. And Nancy is saying, you were in so much pain and some things are so horrific, but can't be handled. And you were destroyed. You weren't yourself. And he's like, I haven't been myself anyways. all the pain that you went through has made you who you are today. How can you try and change me like that?
Intense.
Yeah.
And he leaves. I think it's interesting with Nancy making this decision. It really shows that at the end of the day, she chooses him over everything else.
Yep. Not in a healthy way, of course.
No.
Because this is, he's not happy. I want him to be happy. I'm sure there's also a lot more that went into it. Like, I don't want him to get in trouble for this. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I think it comes down to this is going to hurt him and I want to fix that.
Yeah. And then she did not know that Tristan was a sin eater at this point, right?
Right.
Okay. So we have Ace at the morgue looking for Alice and he tells her the truth. I was impressed that he spilled it all.
Yeah.
And he owns it up to it. And he said he was trying to protect her. And they say goodbye.
She says that her whole life she's been looking for something and she feels it now. It's peace. And she's starting to glow. And she says, I'm ready. And they both wish that she could have had more time. But I am glad that she isn't leaving in anger or she isn't staying in anger. Mm-hmm. That she has a happy ending.
Yeah, I agree. I like how this storyline wrapped up here. I think it was the right amount of time. We didn't spend a whole season on it like we did with Odette, which I loved the Odette, but I didn't need a whole season of Ghost Love.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the right amount of episodes and handled well. And it leaves a sad Ace.
I feel like we always have a sad Ace.
Yeah, it's just Ace at this point.
Yeah.
Then we go over to a storyline that I'm not super happy with how it's going. We get Cameron and George. And we find out that she did get into the school.
Yay.
And she's going to move. Yay.
To Seattle.
Which is the other side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that. I feel like series finales, usually someone moves away.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And it's been building. Like, she has had such a hard life of having to be a mom early by raising her sisters, basically. And she gets to go do her own thing. She gets some freedom.
Yeah. I think it's great.
And it's nice that she has a supportive new friend who is not just a Drew Crew person who, you know, was her little cheerleader here and could talk her through this whole process. Mm-hmm. I don't love that they've made them lovers. I think that it's rushed. And I would have been happy if they both clearly have these little crushes on each other. And then he's like, oh, I got into this school, too. And so we as an audience can just be like, okay, so they're going to be like a couple hours away from each other so they can get together off screen mm-hmm. in a fake season 5.
Yeah.
I would love that because then she has a friend going who might become more, but it being shown to us that it is a love interest felt like we just have to pair everyone up. And I don't really like when shows do that.
Well, I wonder if this was also to show her and Nick are done.
Sure.
I'm wondering if, like, from a writing standpoint, that's what the intention was, is to tell the audience, yeah, no, they're not getting back together because they both have these new interests.
Mm-hmm. Fair. And I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. It makes sense to me. I get why they did it. I don't think George needs a love interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the most important thing of her story is having one. And I do think the show handled that well. Like, it had a lot more focus on her lawyer stuff and her becoming her own person. And he's just kind of tacked on at the end.
I do really hope if we get a scene of her leaving that she's like taking off in the car and we see her throw the crowbar into the front seat with her so that she's still taking a part of her and being George while starting this new life.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely will always be George.
We go over to Ryan and Red talking, and she's still trying to get him to leave and break into the classes. And he tells her that he hates what they did to Nancy, but them being in jail is enough justice for him. And he understands why they did what they did, that they were trying to save their son. And he talks about how his parents were like what Red is proposing doing and ruining and stealing and all that. And he says they never won. They were miserable people. And that's not what he wants.
I love him so much. Like, being able to empathize with them as parents,
mm-hmm.
More growth.
Yep.
And not wanting to be his own parents.
Yeah.
I adore him.
Yes.
So tune in a couple weeks or months or sometime. Keep tuning on to this podcast for Sarah and I going through a whole rating of our favorite characters from the entire series, because I have strong opinions. Yeah. I've been working on it. You need to work on yours.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll work on it.
I'll send you the categories.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. But yeah, I love Ryan, and that scene, just us talking about it, I got a little feeling in my little eyeballs. And so he's like, I'm not leaving. And she, Red, is not sold on Horseshoe Bay, but she's sold on him. And this is cute. I'm like, okay, I can see you guys as a couple now. That first scene, I was like, I don't love this. But this scene, I was like, okay, he deserves this.
Yeah. But then Ryan gets a text, and all he says is, damn, that can't be good.
I'm like, what happened on his phone? We find out. But in that moment, I'm like, ah!
Yeah. But first, over at Icarus Hall, Tristan shows up to see Nancy. He said that he told his parents what happened and they were relieved, but he doesn't feel any relief.
And here we have verification that the curse is broken, but he feels empty.
He says, I don't know who I am, which I think makes sense. He just lost a part of his soul, his whole soul. Who knows, what actually is remaining there.
Interesting. Yeah, because he doesn't have to deal with being a monster anymore, but does he have all of those past people in him still?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Oh, hopefully we find out next episode.
He says, I don't know who I am. And Nancy's like, I've been there before. I'm there right now.
Constantly.
Yeah. And she normally tries to find something to solve, but every mystery lately just makes things worse.
I love that she is aware enough of her own traits and things that she's like, well, when I'm in this situation, this is how I handle it. I really like that she stated that out loud.
Mm-hmm. Tristan says his life isn't worse because of Nancy. They talk about maybe they're connected because they feel this pull, and then they kiss.
Yeah. And this I'm not mad at, but the Nace shippers out there, I can only imagine their heads spinning. But I still said that I think there's a possibility that we're going to get an ending here and then a half of an episode time jump that's 5 years later, and maybe we'll have Ace and Nancy or whatever. But yeah. I like Tristan, and I'm not mad at this.
No, and I think there definitely is, they are building there to be some kind of connection. So who knows what Nancy's role has been. Tristan had that line a few episodes ago saying, what do you remember about your past lives? I think he knows more than he's letting on.
Yeah, they might be destined to be together.
Yeah, she might be the guilt that... Mm-hmm. is dependent on the Sin Eater, and vice versa. They might have a healthy codependency, like this show is full of.
Right. Well, it is interesting, too, because we don't know, much, if anything, about what season 5 would have been. You told me earlier, before we started recording.
Yeah, I just saw on Twitter that Tristan was supposed to be the fifth member. No.
Sixth member.
A sixth member of the Drew crew.
Which would that have been, her and him are going to end up together? Would that have been they try and then she ends up with Ace after they solve the curse and all that in a fifth season or a sixth season? Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's not the world we live in. Unfortunately, we don't get any more seasons. So we are living with Tristan. Tristan's a guy right now. So yeah. I'm not mad at it because I understand that the show had to work with what it had.
Mm-hmm. And then Callie.
I hate her. Cannot emphasize how much I do not like this person.
I'm like, I don't know if this is her trying to save the Sin Eater legacy. No. If she's going through it or if she is just causing problems.
She is just the devil at this point.
Yeah. So she is at the Department of Water and Power where Nick had gotten the town convinced to separate all that water and hold it. With all the sins in it.
From a story standpoint, I'm glad we're readdressing that.
Yes.
But I forgot. Forgot. I just that was focused.
It hasn't been a priority. Mm-hmm. Callie releases all that water. And over at the Beltane celebration, we see these Voden splitter, whatever it is, which makes water into air and goes out through everything. All the taps at the Beltane Festival have it. So black smoke starts coming out. People are getting those black vein things that we saw in the episode with Judge Abbott and Nancy and all that. and they realize they have released 200 buried sins on the town. Everybody needs to run.
Wow. What a cliffhanger. What a cliffhanger that we were like hinted at. Like it didn't mm-hmm. feel out of nowhere, which was nice.
Yeah.
She's insane.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sarah, what do you want from the last episode?
I want closure mm-hmm. for Nancy and Ace, no matter what that is. Because at this point, I don't know how they can go back.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I don't know. She has this connection with Tristan. He is mad that, I mean, she tried to change him. Whether that was her intention or not, I mean, it was very sixth season Buffy, Willow and Tara kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like making a decision for someone's memories, like going into their brain and kind of manipulating that.
Yeah.
Not kind of, literally manipulating that.
And then also her using the Sin Eater when everything has been about stopping the Sin Eater.
Yeah, she definitely, she was sus.
That's why I think that there is the connection between her, like that sure. she needs to represent the sinner side and he is the sin eating side or whatever.
Maybe she's like the reincarnated soul of like the first of the guy that like did the first thing.
I mean, she's a Hudson, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It could be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wild.
Is it like the youngest? Maybe it's like the youngest Hudson is the one.
Or it just keeps being reborn. The sin keeps being reborn within that family bloodline.
Yeah.
So like whenever, like how Tristan, when he dies, the next one is born or whatever. Maybe it's mm-hmm. like that, but it's just with like the next Hudson to be born.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because didn't Ryan have the thing about his uncle? And his uncle was like an alcoholic and all this kind of like had all these demons and stuff. But I don't know. That is a lot.
I like that. Well, you heard it here first. Also, I need Chunky the ferret back.
Yes, agreed. We need Chunky. Even if it's Chunky just running in the background.
Right, right. I want, this is going to be very, very Ben and very dumb. I want just cute scenes. I want to see one cute scene of Nick and Jade getting ready for their road trip because I really enjoyed Jade this season. I want some a Bess and Addie moment. I want the dads and Nancy. I want Carson and George. I want the episode to be solve the problem in the first 10 minutes and then just give me like 2-minute scenes of every combination of characters. That's just what I want.
Yeah. Can we just have Stargirl finale?
Truly watch the Stargirl TV show if you haven't. Sarah did a beautiful podcast on it, but it was 3 seasons. It's a family friendly superhero TV show that's really all about family, but it's lighthearted, it's fun, it has some serious moments, and the series finale is my favorite series finale of anything I've ever seen.
Same.
It wrapped up everything so well, but didn't feel like a checkbox.
Mm-hmm.
It just hit all the checkboxes.
Yeah.
And I love this show, and I just want that for this show, and I'm concerned but it's been a great season. Well, this has been a great season, and I'm enjoying the ride.
Agreed. In an ideal world, and I know I've said it before, we would get a continuation in like graphic novel format or something.
Yeah, bring Tom Swift in and just have mm-hmm. like both those shows be continued. I would buy those graphic novels.
Yeah,
for sure.
The only thing I would like, you wouldn't be able to bring the whole crew in. Like you could keep the writers, but you don't get like the actors and all that in it, which of would course. Be hard to lose. But we can, it's 2023. We can figure out how to get them in there too.
I mean, they could do like the artist could draw like, what is it called? Not stop motion.
Oh, yeah.
But like with Lion King, when they brought real lions into the studio to be drawn, can the actors like pose and then they get mm-hmm. drawn? I don't know. We'll work on it.
Do that, and then they could be do an online comic.
Oh.
And then there could be some animated, maybe audio have some book. Voicing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or podcast. A podcast.
Oh my God.
Why is there not just a podcast?
Let's call them and talk about a collaboration where we bring it to life as a podcast.
I mean, I don't know if we need to be involved, but
we do.
I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer did seasons 8, 9, 10, I think, mm-hmm. after, and that's like canon, quote unquote. Like, why not? Why not?
Exactly.
Anyways, entertainment and MVP. My entertaining is Ryan.
Same.
because that one line, well, he has multiple things. Like he did a good job this episode, and we saw his growth a lot this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that line to Carson about raising the best person got the most emotional reaction out of me.
Yes. I think it was great. It was seeing his growth and his ability to convince Red, like, I believe that she's not going to go and rob the glasses now. Also, that seems like a stupid plan anyways, because I'm sure there is some kind of supernatural protections. But whatever. If they break up, she can go try it and see what happens. And then most helpful super sleuth, I said Nick.
I mean, I thought Nick, but it's just always, it's been Nick the last, like, however many episodes now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, keep an eye on Callie, his chats with George. He, like, was helpful in the basement.
Yeah, he was the one thinking ahead. Like, hey, remember when the mirror did that weird thing when we tried with the smoke last time we tried to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to plan ahead. He's the one who contacted Ryan to get the mummy hammer.
So I have a bold statement. This is season specific, right? I'm not going to reveal my, like, for the whole series yet. But for this season, Nick, I think, is my favorite character. Yeah. I really loved him this whole season.
Yeah.
And think his growth was earned.
Agreed.
So, but we'll get into more of that later. So.
All right,
Sarah. What is the title of the last episode of Nancy Drew?
Episode 13 is The Light Between Lives.
It's not Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy?
No. So the description that's on IMDb. Nancy and the Drew Crew's mission to save Horseshoe Bay from sins of its past comes to an epic conclusion as they must contend with Nancy's most shocking discovery yet, one that will determine the fate of her star-crossed love with Ace.
Oh my God.
So, you know, just minor things happening in this episode.
I wish that we were recording this visually so the audience could see my face and the color that's washed out of it. Is Tristan Bad News Bears?
I think we're onto something with her in the Hudson line.
Are Nancy and Ace getting together?
I don't know.
Oh, Lord. All right. Thank you for listening. Tune in next time. I know I will. Until next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye. I'm Sarah.
I'm Jake.
And we invite you to join us on the Gotham Knights Watch podcast for a weekly recap and discussion of the CW show Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights follows Bruce Wayne's adopted son and his unlikely friends who are accused of killing the Caped Crusader.
The world's greatest detective may be gone, but we will dig up any clues that we can along the way.
Help us solve this mystery and tune in to the Gotham Knights Watch podcast.